Blog Talk Radio.
IWDN Radio. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for the night show of Parent and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. This program is designed to provide our listening audience with an interactive conversation on effective parenting, and this episode will focus on developing leadership skills in children, and our listeners are invited to bring questions as well as share their parenting experience to the Learning Lab. I'd like to bring to you tonight's host for tonight's show. It is Mark Shaheed. As-salamu alaykum, Mark Shaheed.
Alaykum as-salam to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDN radio listening audience. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone. and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, the facilitator, producer, along with Dr. Patricia Slaudine of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Wednesday night here on IWDM Radio. And we'd like to say to those who are tuning in for the very first time, Dr. Slaudine and I would like for you to know that this is your learning lab. And we invite you to ask questions and make comments on the information and education that we try to disseminate each and every Wednesday night here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And you can do that by pressing 1 if you have a question or comment, or if you just want to let us know that what you're hearing tonight or in previous learning labs here that is resonating with you, you can press 1 on your keypad. We'd like to say to those of you, and we know we have many that listen in by way of the Internet, that if you like to be involved, you have to call into the studio. And that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, that's 714-816-4673. And press 1. And our engineer, Rashid Salam, will notify me that you got your hand up and you have a question or comment that you'd like to make. So we do invite those listening in by the way of the Internet to dial into the studio to be a participant. Want to just establish a few staples that we have established for this learning lab, and then we'll get into tonight's learning lab. The first and foremost thing that we have used as a foundation for this learning lab is Al-Quran. That is the Quran, the final revelation for all of humanity. And then secondly, it's the life example of the Prophet in the demonstration and living the Quran. And thirdly, it's a tafsir. Tafsir just simply means the clear explanation by our beloved leader, Imam Worth Uddin Muhammad. And we want to also let it be known that we have selected an excellent text that we're using that's titled Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet and Practical Applications of Various Ages. We gave an introductory last week to this new publication that we'll be using for a while here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Just a few other things that we have established as staples, and then we'll get into tonight's learning lab. We follow the lead of our beloved leader, Imam Muhammad, when he said, in definition is direction. I've also added correction to that too. We've given a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting. And we also invite you to really bring your pen and pad and take notes as you get this information, because it will serve us well even in just the foundational knowledge that we have built this platform on in terms of Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We said that parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility that we all have as parents, and we want to dismiss the misnomer that this is the role and responsibility of the mother only. No, the father has a part, and a very big part, in the process of nurturing and cultivating all these vital components that comprise the totality of the human being. We also have said that the parents' role and responsibility is to raise our children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost for themselves, then their family, then their community. And we say, with those conscientious parents understanding their role and relationship to their children and the responsibility that they have to their children, that inshallah with simply means God willing, that we can produce some world leaders. Yes, I said world leaders with that way of thinking. Also, it's a staple here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah the Most High, is the first teacher, but he has given the honor and the distinction to the mother to be the first teacher and the first leader, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And it is the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who has said in a Sahih Hadith that paradise lies at the foot of the mother. Many interpretations, but simply from me, it is that the mother has been given the honor distinction to give the foundational knowledge to not only our baby girls, but our baby boys. So with that being said, for those of you tuning in for the first time, we always like to give a recap of the last episode here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And for that, we go to our very distinguished and esteemed co-host and co-facilitator of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, my partner, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin. Assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Salahuddin.
Wa alaikum assalam, Mark. How are you doing this evening?
Well, you know, I'm always amped up on Wednesday because this is such an important learning lab, not because you and I are doing this, but because I and yourself and there are many others that understand and realize that the family is the first social unit in society. So if we're ever going to get things right in terms of what correct parenting is, how to reconstruct a destructive family life, we have to begin right there. So with that being said, back to you, Dr. Salahuddin.
Thank you, Mark. This is the first session that we're having, and mm-hmm. I'd like to start with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab Overview, episode June 22nd, 2022. And the resource that we're using is Parenting Skills, based on the Quran and Sunnah by Dr. Ikram and Dr. Muhammad Rida Bashir. With this episode, we started a new publication, as mentioned earlier. Brother Mark began by explaining the format of the book and the approach that we will take in discussing it. We encourage the audience to purchase the book so that they can follow along and take part in the questions and exercises therein. We explained that the book has 30 chapters with a glossary or list of Arabic terminology. We encourage the listening audience to listen with a pen and paper because this book is very interactive. As an introduction to the first chapter of Parenting Skills based on the Quran and Sunnah, Brother Mark explained that the message for this chapter is to demonstrate how socialization and acculturation has formed us as human beings. So when we become parents, we are replicating what we have lived. He also used two ayats in the Quran to remind the audience that Allah has created humans in the best of modes. Those two ayats are found in Surah 95, ayat 4, and Surah 17, ayat 70. And we advise our listeners to look for those ayats and read them. Mark also reminds the audience of the three stages of a child's development as expressed in the sayings of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. Those stages are 0 to 7, which is the impressive stage, 7 to 14, the modeling stage, and 14 to 21, the socialization stage. In the first chapter entitled Self-Search, the author gives the reader 6 steps to implement the self-search process, and those steps are found in are given in an acronym, SEARCH. S, search, E, evaluate, A, acknowledge, R, reinforce, C, change, H, hang on. The authors also suggested that we search within ourselves and review all the actions and parental behaviors that we use with our children. The authors assisted with this process by suggesting that we dig deep into the past, into our childhood, to uncover the source of our parental behavior, and by providing a questionnaire to help explore the self-search. During this episode, we covered 2 of the 10 questions from the questionnaire, with the audience actively sharing their responses to the questions. from the audience participation, we've gained fruitful conversation about showing love and affection for children of all ages in the family and in the community. We will continue with the questionnaire with this episode. Back to you, Mark.
Yes, I want to say alhamdulillah, and that simply means that the praise and thanks belongs to God first and foremost always. And an excellent overview by Dr. Patricia Slaudeen. Always want to thank you for that. And for those of you who was not present, that should have caught you up basically on the introductory episode that we had on this new publication, Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and Sunnah, Practical Application for Various Ages. This is an outstanding publication. Dr. Slaudeen and myself, we do advise that you should purchase this book, make an investment in yourself, make an investment in your family, make an investment in your community, because this will help. Most of us who had families, we didn't have any type of textbook nor manual or anything to say to us in terms of how to develop parenting skills. And maybe many of us may not have been even Muslims, you know. So parenting skills based on the Quran, this is the final revelation that God has given to all of humanity. Now, notice I said all of humanity. So if you're listening, you're not a Muslim, this book is for you too, you know, because God does not discriminate in terms of when he is giving guidance and direction for every aspect of our life, including parenting, including the sacred institution of family life. You know, I got to say that, Dr. Slaudeen, so we don't want anybody to feel like this is for Muslims only. It's not for Muslims only. Matter of fact, all the broadcasts here on IWDM Radio are for all of humanity, regardless whether your race, creed, color, religious persuasion, or what. It is for all of us. So I want to make that plain from the very beginning. And we had, as Dr. Slaudeen said, we had a very active audience in terms of inclusion and participation. And we look forward to that tonight, because this book will question you as we begin chapter one, which is self-search. So we're looking for parenting skills. Well, I think it's a good place to start, Dr. Slaudeen, in terms of the questions where we left off, because it is helping us to see and realize how we have become who we are. And then we can actually begin to search to see what our socialization was, what our acculturation was, and maybe that is why we were the parents that we were. That's not to say that it was so bad or what. But most of that, you understand, that we experienced in our socialization had a great impact on the type of parents that we may have been if our children are grown and gone. Or if what you get in this information education, then all of us will be grandparents. Well, we might be able to be better grandparents than we were parents. Just think about that. So keep that in mind, and we do ask that you come to this learning lab with an open mind, an open heart, and please bring your pens, bring your pads, because there are going to be plenty of notes that you want to take down, and you should want to get this book. Also, we want, as you go along, we want you to develop a glossary where you may hear some Islamic terms, and we give some explanation for those. So we want you to build a glossary as you go along, and it's going to help you, because from time to time, we're going to be introducing some Islamic terminology. So, you know, it won't be an Arabic class per se, but there will be some terminology that you need to know. And you'll see how easy it is to be able to relate it to this topic in terms of parenting skills. You know. So with that being said, Dr. Slaudeen, I think we should go ahead and proceed with the questioning, and maybe you can just give a statement or two. In terms of, you already gave the acronym in terms of search, and we're in the first chapter, which is self-search. And so I think it's almost self-explanatory in terms of searching to find yourself as you are a parent. And there are questions that we need for you to answer with honesty and integrity and transparency. This will help us all to grow and develop. So with that being said, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, I'm going to give it back to you.
Okay, thank you, Mark. And you explained what we were doing last time, so I don't have to repeat that. These are questions, and we're going to start with, we had question number one, which dealt with the effectiveness of love that we experience in our family, the show of love, by the way. But number two is pertaining to our parents' interest in us. So I'm going to read A, B, and C for number two. A, I felt that my parents were interested in me and that they took my personal affairs seriously despite their busy schedules. B, I felt that my parents did not pay much attention to my personal affairs. I often felt like my parents did not treat me as if I had a distinct personality from the rest of my siblings. And C, I didn't get any attention at all from my parents. And these are, this is number two, A, B, and C. And what I like to say is this one, I remember when you did that acronym.
Yes.
You did the acronym of parenting.
Yes.
And
yes.
And this one with attention, I think one of the words that
it was
A. Yeah, yes. Had attention in it. So this
yes,
is
yeah, attentiveness. Yes.
Yes.
Right.
To your yes. So this is this is what that pertains to. How much attention did you get from your parents? Yeah.
So you know, Dr. Slaudine, I'm glad that you brought that up. You know, and so we really want to pose that question to our radio listening audience, and I know that you're willing to share with us. And remember, look, this is not a test. These questions are designed to be thought-provoking. I mean, so you have to be honest with yourself, because what you're going to find is that how you were socialized in the family life that you grew up in may have affected you as a parent in terms of, as Dr. Slaudine is mentioning, in terms of giving your child due attention. And if you come from large families, this can sometimes become a real problem or issue. I've heard it from many, many children that they didn't feel like they got the proper attention. So now we're asking this question. We want to pose this question to the radio listening audience, and quite sure Dr. Slaudine is willing to share, you know, her own personal life in terms of being a child raised up in her family, how much attention did she get, and I'm willing to share that too. So we'd like for you to share, and the way you can do that is by pressing 1. So the first one that's 2A, that's the second question, that you got a lot of attention. You got a lot of attention from your parents, and you could see visibly that they were very, very concerned about what you were doing, interested in what you were doing and all. That's A. And then B would be that, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not giving it exactly word for word, but your parents was not so interested. And what was that, making a comparison with your other siblings? Am I correct?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, comparison with your other siblings. So if you grew up in a family like that where you were being compared to, and you some of you may have had that experience being compared to, you know how that can make a child feel. And then the third one, whereas you just didn't get any attention and you just didn't feel like you mattered at all. So those are the three, and so I'm going to ask you, radio listening audience, as you've heard A, B, and C, which of those categories would you say you fell in when you were growing up as a child? And then if you like to share with us as being a parent, which one of those categories would you say you fell in as a parent? So this is your time to press 1. And so we're going to give it back to Dr. Slaudine as she would like to share Which one? Would that be A, B, or C for you, Dr. Slaudin?
Yes. Let's see. I am thinking, you have to think about this. I think A would be, yeah, you just you have to think about what you're being asked. And I think that A would, I fell into the, my parents fell into the A category. My mom, my mother, really, I have to say my mother, I felt that my mother was interested in me and my personal affairs definitely, because they paid close attention to what you were doing. And in this day and time, parents may not be that closely attentive to the child's personal affairs, but my mother was very attentive to my personal affairs, whether I wanted her or not. So she knew she knew what was going on in my life all of the time. And and then too, when it came to, I was very active in school, so she was always at whatever performance or whatever things that I was engaged in, and she encouraged that. And so I did get quite a bit of attention in that regard. And like I said, she also knew that part of your life, my life, that I wasn't so interested in her knowing. She knew that too. So
okay.
That's the kind of mom I had.
Okay, alhamdulillah, that's great. You know that you had a parent that was very, very attentive, and as you so eloquently articulated, I actually have forgot that in the early learning labs, in terms of actually giving an acronym for the word parenting, that A in the word parent stands for attentiveness and also for affection. You know, these are characteristics that parents should actually have, to be affectionate, which is what we talked about last week in terms of love. You can translate love in terms of affection, because affection is a product of love, you know, showing the affection that sometimes children just don't get, and attentiveness. And it's very, very important that all children, and this is a learning lab, all children need to be connected. It's in the word can. They need to be connected, they need to be accepted, and they need to be nurtured. This is very, very important. And to be connected means that the parent is paying attention to the child. To be connected with the child, you have to pay attention to them. You have to pay attention to them not only in what it is that they are saying to you, but you have to pay attention in what it is that they're doing. You have to be able to notice a difference in behavior. Oh, this is very important. Notice attention and behavior. Very important. So we're going to go to Rashid Salam, because we may have had somebody that raised a hand. So did we get any takers on that, Rashid Salam, and that question that was asked? And maybe you might want to share in terms of your socialization, in terms of whether A, B, or C for you. But did we have any callers with their hands up? We'll go to them first.
Okay. Well, we have no one online on the air who has their hand raised, but my hands are raised, so I definitely want to answer that question.
Okay. You know, was it A, B, or C for you?
I had a twofold life. So I don't know how to say it. Up until I was 14, 15 years old, I got all the attention. You know, even though we had 12 brothers and sisters in my family, my brothers used to beat me up because I got all the attention all the time. But I had lots of attention, so that would be A for me. And B would be, not as much as others. I mean, I don't know how to say that, but that would be B, and C would be no attention. So then at 15, I had to turn it all around. Well, guess what? No attention became A. Not enough attention became B, and lots of attention became C. So I don't know how to share that.
We're going to keep them as B or C. But I mean, so most of your life up in, to your adolescence 15. Stage,
yes.
You received quite a bit of attention. And let me ask this question. Since you came from a big family, where were you number-wise in that family?
I was the third oldest.
Third oldest.
You know, so,
okay.
Yeah, out of 12, I was the third oldest.
You were the third oldest. And, mm-hmm. and the reason I'm asking that, Rashid, and this is for the radio listening audience, is that oftentimes when you come from a large family, and especially when your parents have what we call stair-step children, you know, maybe a new brother, a sister every year, year and a half,
mm-hmm.
you're still a baby, and you're getting you're getting quite a bit of attention, maybe more than the other child. But when the other child comes, now they're the center of the parents' attention and everybody's attention. And so you're still a baby, still immature, and you're looking at this, you see. This can be somewhat disconcerting. It's alarming to the child to see that the little brother and sister are getting quite a bit of attention. So we're going to deal with that, you know, a little bit later. But for large families, oftentimes children do experience that, whereas they can say, part of my childhood was broken up, like Rashid Salam is sharing with us. And I was, we do invite you to press 1. It's just sharing this here because I want to make some commentary on this, how important it is as parents and developing parenting skills, that we actually have to be conscious of the fact that all children need to have a certain amount of attention for their growth and development. You know, we want to always make sure that our children have a good mental attitude, a good emotional attitude in regards to themselves. And so a lot of that is predicated a lot of times on the attention that parents show to their children. Now, of course, there's going to be a diversion as you have more children. And so, you know, my mother was an only child. But she was not only the only child that my grandparents had, but she was the only child in the family for a long time. So you can just imagine she got an abundance of attention. Now, my childhood was different. I was the oldest child, and I had quite a few siblings behind me. So I didn't get a whole lot of attention for a long period of time. Matter of fact, I was even asked, you understand, to be, I think, more responsible at a younger age because I was the oldest in that regard. Now, I didn't care for it at that time, but I think it helped me in terms of the development, in terms of maturity, because more responsibility was put up on me, and I had to be the big boy. I had to be the big brother, if you will, in that regard. But giving your children a certain amount of attention is crucial to their growth and development. It doesn't negate the fact that because you have a lot of children, that you can abrogate your responsibility to maybe say the older child, as the older child gets maybe say not pushed away, but loses some of the attention that they were getting before the little baby brother or sister came along, and then another one came along, and obviously, you know, the one that is the baby generally gets the most attention in the family. So, you know, in terms of parenting, we want to be conscious. We always want to be conscious of the fact that we have to really divide our time up, and we have to find a way. We have to make a way, as my grandmother used to say, for anything that's important, but to understand that this is part of the growth and development of our children, to be able to give some quality time to all of our children. And we'll find that some of our children won't need as much time from us. And especially when we begin to raise them up to be responsible for certain things, you know, and not do so many things for them when they get to be a certain age. I'm going to stop there. And Rashid, do we have any callers that have pressed 1 to share their experience in this? Okay, so they're in listening mode tonight, Dr. Slaudine, but I just wanted to say something about that particular question and how important it is, and just knowing the author asking that question, because it may have had such a profound impact upon us. We may have followed in the shoes or the footsteps of our parents, you know, when it came to giving attention. And so hopefully, you know, those who listen in can benefit from that. So if you don't have anything else to add to that, Dr. Slaudine, let's keep on going with these questions. Now, remember, these questions, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to IWDN Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaudine and Mark Shaheed. And we're on the new publication, a new publication that we're using as a text here. It is Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, Practical Application for Various Ages. We're on the first chapter, which is self-search. And if you ask us a self-search, yeah, it's exactly what it's saying. It's actually searching to find yourself as to who you are, and perhaps the type of parent that you are or have been before in the past, and connecting that with your own personal socialization, your own personal acculturation. And so for self-search, it always requires that you have to ask questions. You have to ask questions, and these questions actually will help you in your search to find out who you actually are, and maybe the impact that your parents have had upon you. So, Dr. Slaudine, let's go to the next question, if you would, please. And remember,
okay,
radio listeners, please listen up and participate.
Okay. Before I go to the next question, I'd like to talk about giving attention, but I have to talk about how to give attention to your children. One of the things that we did in our family, as a parent, and we would, my husband and I, would make sure that we would spend time with each child individually, at least once a month. If not once a month, if we couldn't do it more than that, we'd do it at least once a month. They would get time where they would just be with us, that one child. We'd go out to lunch, we'd go out to dinner, we do, you know, something that we would do with that child by themselves. It was just them. And in that way, we were able to connect with them, talk to them, and we did other things with them too, because each child had different interests. They were in different things, different sports, or different types of art that they were doing. And so we made sure that we were always at their performance, always making sure that they got to their rehearsals, making sure that they did what they wanted to do. And and all awards and everything. We just make sure that we were there. We were never absent. So
that's one
way of giving our children,
attention. I'm glad you said that, Dr. Slaudine, because actually in terms of doing that, actually all of your children would feel special. I really feel special, and I think that's a good parenting technique, to make sure in terms of giving some special time and attention to each one of your children, in terms of taking them out, even in terms of attending concerts or sporting events or things that they're actually involved in, how this actually makes them feel special. We did that also. And I want to say this, because what you did, you triggered something in my mind that also that you can do on a daily basis. And it may seem very simplistic when I say this, but it's very, very effective. It's very effective, and it's very simple, and it's very economical. You got a lot of children, you can spend a lot of money, and all, but this is very economical, but it's old school. You know, I'm an advocate for families having at least one meal together, at least one meal together. And I would say probably for families today, as we live in the microwave society, everything is like go, 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 rush, 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 hurry, 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 you know, let's get it done quickly, and all of this. even when it comes to heating up food and all. But I went green years ago, so no microwave in Mark Chahi's house. You know, we do it the old-fashioned way. But I do think that sitting down for family dinner, after school is over, after work is over, and this might be idealistic to some people that are listening. It may not be realistic for some. I do understand that. But if you can establish in your family, and it could be traditional. It was traditional in my family life. And when I became a parent along with my children's mother, we would sit down and eat at the table. And so what I would always do after we said grace, the conversation would be, how was your day? Now, this sounds very simplistic, but everybody knew that they were going to be asked questions like that, but they knew that they had parents that was concerned, and I would always be the one that would be facilitating the questioning and all. But I was really, really, serious about how was their day in terms of asking them. Now, you have to maybe to understand the mindset of a child. When you're asking about how the day was, maybe some of those days was not so good. This was an opportunity at the dinner table for them to express themselves too. But you're being attentive as a parent. And oftentimes being attentive as a parent, it requires that you ask the question. It's simplistic as it seems. There are children that coming from home life, family life, where nobody ever asked them, how was their day? And do children have bad days? And the answer is not only yes, but emphatically yes. But if nobody seems to care or nobody's paying attention, now our children can internalize that who cares? Why should I even talk about it? Nobody wants to listen. Nobody asks. If our child is an introvert, if you don't ask the question, you might not get anything from them. So it's very, very important to take advantage of maybe having that one meal, like on the weekends. Maybe that might be the only time that the family can actually have breakfast together. But take advantage of that time when you're sitting down and you're having table talk. Whereas to each child, you are asking the question that shows them that you really, really care about them. I just wanted to say that because what you said that you did in your family kind of triggered that. And those outings where you just take in the one child, they feel very, very special, but they can also be feeling very special that their parents are having table conversation with them in terms of their day, or maybe it's something that you can say maybe even the table that not only will help that one particular child, but could help the other siblings also. I just want to say that. Back to you, Dr. Saldin.
Okay, so we're going to move on to number three. And number three A, I felt my parents encouraged me and encouragement and support, and they helped me whenever they could. That's A. B, I didn't feel my parents' encouragement and support, and they didn't help me when they could have. That would be B, right. Wait a minute, did I do all three? Yes, I did. All right. So
okay.
That's
okay, let's do it real quickly. Okay, number A, I'm thinking it says, okay, so the operative word here, I want to just say this here, the operative word here is that I feel, okay? So this becomes a feeling, and most of the time children express things in feelings, okay? I feel as though my parents encourage me and what? What was that? Encourage me and what?
And support.
And supported me.
Support.
Okay. That's
mm-hmm.
A. Okay. And then B is I feel as though my parents did not encourage me, right?
Uh-huh. And support.
And support
and
me.
He only did A, B.
I thought there was a C. Oh,
A,
I thought
B.
I
okay,
missed
that's,
something.
Yeah,
but he only did A,
been.
B with this one.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So it's A and B. So I feel as though my parents encouraged me and supported me. That's A, dear listening audience. And do you feel as though your parents did not encourage you and did not support you? I would like some audience participation. Please press 1. Do you feel like your parents encouraged you and supported you, or do you feel like they didn't? And this may be connected with maybe the fact of the social dynamic of your family, that there were so many children, they just felt like I need to give attention to most of the little ones or whatever. Didn't have time to really do a whole lot of encouraging and supporting. Which one would it be? Would it be A, encouragement and support, being supportive of you, or would it be B, not really encouraging you and not really being supportive of you? What? So please press 1. Brother Rashid, do we have anybody?
No one raised a hand except for
me. Oh, no one raised a hand. Okay. Okay, Dr. Salahuddin, so I guess it's going to be me, you, and Rashid here tonight. He's staring. So, Dr. Salahuddin, how did you feel in that? I think I might know the answer just based on the previous answer. Did your family, did your parents, we're talking about parents, did they encourage you and did they support you?
Definitely, yes. My mother was very supportive, very encouraging, and almost everything that I tried to do or wanted to do, she was always very, very encouraging. Yes, indeed.
Okay, very good. Okay, Rashid Salam, what about you, brother? How do you answer that?
Twofold again. I had all the encouragement I needed up until the time I was 14 before my mother passed, and after that, it was the latter, okay?
Okay.
But
okay.
Up to that point, she was just a dream. You know, my life was a dream, you know? But after that period of time, I was on my own, you know?
Okay. Okay, and that's fair because the social dynamic is going to be different for many of us. You know, some of us are going to be emphatically A, like for Dr. Salahuddin, and for yours, it was kind of somewhat split. Because obviously when the matriarch of the family passed away, you understand that can be a disruptor in the family life and all. And maybe what mama was given and doing a lot of times is no longer present in our life. I would say I had a mother, but I didn't have a father. I had a daddy, but I didn't have a father. Let me say this. I do make the distinction here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab because, you know, these questions actually take us back to the influence and impact that we had on parents. Even a parent that's MIA, that's missing in action, can still have a very profound impact on you. You know, and it can be positive or it can be negative. Fortunately, I had a mother that always was very encouraging and supporting. I was very fortunate to have a mother who was always encouraging. I remember the first time going to an integrated school, even in grade school, when it was forced busing by the federal government. And I was somewhat terrified, you know. I was very concerned about that. And one of the things my mother said to me that was very encouraging when I brought it to her, because we always had a good open communication, she said, Mark, she said, I believe that you're just as good as those other children. That's how she put it. And then she went on to say, She said, you're just as good and you're just as smart as they are. Then she went on to say, I believe you're even smarter than them. Okay. So now this is coming from my mother because you could see how that was building my self-esteem. My mother thinks that I'm just as good as they are. She thinks I'm just as smart as they are. And then she tells me, I believe you're smarter than they are. So now this might have been a psychological thing in terms of getting into my psyche, in terms of how I should look at myself, and to ensure that I kept my self-esteem in the regard for myself, because my mother had that type of confidence in me, and she believed in me, and she wanted me to believe in myself. So it encouraged me like that, in that regard. What did I do? I just went and made all A's in everything. You see, that's what encouragement can actually do when our parents, you understand, really believe in us. It's so very important to be encouraging to our children. Matter of fact, in the acronym that I use in a workshop that I did about 3 years ago in Inkster, Michigan, in, for the DNA annual Muslim convention there, I gave a workshop on the word influence. And the first E in the word influence is that we must encourage them. Who are them? Our children. We must encourage them. Because when we encourage them, we actually help with their self-esteem. This is very important. We help them with their self-esteem in terms of how they should value themselves, how they should regard themselves, just like I shared with you how my mother, encouraged me, and she was very supportive. You know, it's like even paying attention, you know, to when I came home, what type of homework did I have, asking me how did it go, and yada, yada, yada. And I wanted to just say that when I went to school at that time, I went to school under some very adverse circumstances where we were not accepted, where rocks were thrown at our bus, and the children would spit on the bus. They would give finger signs, you know what I mean? And they would call us the N-word. Now, this is, could be very disconcerting to any children at that particular time. And, you know, being fourth grade or so, I wanted to take it up with fisticuffs. And my mother wanted to discourage me from doing that, you know, in that regard. Now, that's a story in itself, but I won't go into that. But just the mere fact that she gave me some encouraging words, it built my confidence up in myself, my self-esteem, and all. So what I'm saying in terms of parenting skills is very, very important to always encourage our children. And sometimes doubt will creep in to our children's mind in terms of their heart, in terms of doubting themselves. And I was, as far as a parent, in my home, when I used to homeschool my children, even though they went to public, some of them went to public school, the latter two attended for a year or two the Clara Muhammad School. But I still, homeschool my children. And so when I would teach them in terms of word, I used to have a blackboard downstairs in the family room. And I would teach them. I put a word on the board, like doubt. I say, what words do you see in doubt? The first thing that would come out of their mouth is out. I say, so if you doubt, that keeps you out. You can't doubt in yourself. And I begin to teach on just the word doubt, just like I'm teaching now in terms of doubt. You don't want doubt. And now, you know, we can use the Quran, and we can go after Al-Fatiha, and we can go to the next surah of the Quran. And after Allah give us the mystical letters, Alif, Lam, Mim, God goes on to say, that is the book. In it is guidance sure, without doubt. Now, this is very, very important. You see, because God gives us guidance without doubt. And it's very important for our children to grow up not having doubt in themselves. So encouragement becomes a vital component in parenting. Very important. Matter of fact, in that E in the word parenting is encouragement, encouraging. All parents that have good parenting skills will always encourage. I could say more, but I think I said enough. Dr. Patricia Slodin, and we're going to check with our radio listening audience one more time here. Rashid Salam, anybody raise their hand, or are they just in learning mode tonight? Rashid? Are you there?
I'm in learning mode tonight.
Okay, in learning mode.
I'm sorry, Mark.
I was just checking this if anybody had their hands up or wanted to share.
No.
So
they did not.
We're
going
to go
they
back
did
to
not.
You, Dr. Spalding. We got about 4 more minutes here. Let's just get the other question in. Let's see what we can do. Let's see if we can get one more question in real quick.
Okay, so we'll go 4 minutes and we'll go to number 4. I felt my parents' approval and knew that they took my effort seriously, no matter what the results were. B, I didn't feel my parents' approval unless I took on more than I could handle to meet their expectations. And C, I didn't feel my parents' approval no matter what I did.
Based
on approval.
Approving
what? Yeah, approving approval from the parent of what the child is doing or engaging in.
Okay, so I'm just incorporating Rashid Salam. He didn't know I was going to do this. He's probably going to get me afterwards or what. Rashid Salam.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to start with you, brother. I'm just drafting you in this learning lab here.
That's
did you feel your parents' approval, you know, and were they accepting of you? And remember, you know, I gave this acronym for the word CAN. This is for both males and females, that all children have to feel connected, accepted, and nurtured. Did you feel your parents' approval?
Oh, man, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, I tell you, I mean, even though after my mother passed away, my extended family stepped in and took care of that. I always say I was one of them special children, man. For some reason, everybody thought something was going to be good about me. They always encouraged me, always pushed me. And I stood up. I made grades in school just to come home to get a hug. I knew I was going to get it. So I was inspired, man. It was just beautiful to make somebody acknowledge who you are and what you do. So that was something that I always look forward to. Yes.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Dr. Salahuddin, we'll give you the last word on this here. And, you know, did you feel your parents' approval and acceptance? Or was it the other way? You didn't feel the approval, not acceptance, or what?
Well, my mother approved of whatever I was doing, and that was good. You know, anything pertaining to school, a community, my education, she definitely approved of that. And, of course, I was always trying to please her because I knew she was depending on me to be exceptional or to do great things in my schoolwork. So I felt bad if I didn't do anything. If I failed something, and I never failed anything in terms of my schoolwork because she was dependent. I know she just felt that you can do this, and she encouraged me, and so it would be just not to work hard and not to strive would just be a disappointment to her, and I did not want to disappoint my mother. So yes, she was definitely approved, and then things that she felt that I was going off into that she didn't think was right, she definitely let me know. No, that's not what we're going to do. She was one of those mothers who, you know, she approved and she supported you, but whenever you started going in a direction that she felt was not beneficial to you, she would let you know.
Well, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, that's a good way to end on, and just want to, we may have maybe 1 minute left, and Dr. Slaudine, I want to give that 1 minute to you. What would you like to leave with the radio listening audience? And we'll pick it up, not next week, because next week will be the first Wednesday. We're going to look at having a special on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab next week, not to deviate from the book, but you know what the hot topic is for the last week or so, ever since the Supreme Court have made a ruling in terms of abortion. but it's been the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. I've been getting some questions from people and been giving some thought to this ruling. But from an Islamic perspective, how are we going to be, how we should be looking at abortion? And we want to do that based on the Quran, based on the life example of the Prophet, and, of course, the tafsir of Imam W.D. Muhammad. So I look forward to that, inshallah, next week here on Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Dr. Salahuddin, give you a minute for any closing remarks that you'd like to leave with the radio listening audience.
Well, I'd like to say to our audience that we as parents want to continue to work toward helping our children to learn who Allah is, who God is, who our Creator is, our Sustainer is, and learn who He is and also learn to love Him. And we can do that for our children. That will be a great benefit to them because then they will always strive to please Him and strive to do what is right, and they can never go wrong in that regard. So that's a message I want to leave with our parents.
Alhamdulillah, and that is a beautiful message to leave and a very thought-provoking message to leave with our listeners. As we know, most of all of our listeners are parents or grandparents, aunts, uncle, guardians, mentors maybe that are listening in. This is excellent information for all that are listening. And when you get this information, please don't keep it to yourself. Make sure you share it with others. I want to thank you, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin, for sharing your insight and wisdom each and every Wednesday. We really appreciate you greatly here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab and assisting me in helping the facilitation and dissemination of information and education that will help us in what correct parenting is and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. Thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing you back in 2 weeks. I always hate when you have to miss that week, but I already know you're already prior commitment. So may Allah bless you with good, you know, for the time that you're away from us and a safe return back to IWDM. I mean, assalamu alaikum.
Amen. Wa alaikum salam, Mark.
Alhamdulillah. So there you have it, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab in the first hour. Dr. Patricia Salahuddin, our very astute and very learned co-facilitator and producer of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We want to say we get ready to transition to the MGM Roundtable. Before we do, I want to alert you that the beat goes on here at IWDM Radio. The Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab will come on tomorrow, inshallah, that's God willing, with Quran Shakir from the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. She'll be joining yours truly, Mark Shahid, here on IWDM Radio. That begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. We'll be continuing on the premarital questionnaire. Yes, the premarital questionnaire for those who are aspiring to get married. This is an excellent tool for you to get to know that potential mate. And the only prerequisite is that you have to have sincerity, honesty, integrity, and transparency. And if you can do that and go through those categories and answer those questions, keeping that prerequisites in mind, you may find that there will be a commonality, a compatibility, so that you can, as Allah said, dwell together in tranquility. So all of those illities are a reality if we want it to be a healthy, harmonious relationship. So we do ask that you tune in for that. And as we transition, as always, I like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. The praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable that's heard each and every Wednesday night following the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, as I like to bring to you very distinguished and esteemed guests inside of our community, also outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. No less tonight, as we have a very distinguished guest tonight. And before I actually bring him on, I'm going to ask him to press one, but I'm going to ask Rashid Salam if he would do the honors of reading this bio. So please, radio listening audience, please give your undivided attention to our guest tonight, Brother Jarvis El Amin. Rashid? Rashid Salam?
I had you on mute. I was trying to make sure.
Okay, all right.
Jarvis K. El Amin was born to Charlie and Jimmy Jones in Dawson, Georgia, on October 18, 1959. Mr. Bell is the second cousin to the soul legend Otis Redding. Mr. El Amin, an entrepreneur, author, community organizer, and marketing consultant, formerly an account executive for AM 1150 WTMP in Jarvis. For AM 1150 WTMP. Jarvis sold over 4,000 copies of the book From the South Georgia to South Africa, The Journey on a Rocky Road to Success. He's an advocate for economics. Mr. El Amin has volunteered for many organizations in our community. He's the founding board member of the Masjid al-Nasr. He's the founding board member of USA Muslim Civic Foundation Organization, founding board member for the Tampa Bay Muslim Alliance that sponsored the annual charity festival festival. He's a member of the executive committee of the local NAACP, president and co-founder, Regional Black Chamber of Commerce, founding board member for Tampa Chapter of CARE, founding member of Candy Low Conversation and Tea, a social discussion group, and is also a former board member to WMNF 88.5 Community Radio. Mr. El Amin is proud to be a practicing Muslim and a caring father and grandfather. He enjoys socializing and networking. Ladies and gentlemen, Jarvis K. El Amin.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Jarvis El Amin.
Wa alaikum assalam, and thank you for the wonderful introduction and to your nice and wonderful, intimate radio listening audience. Thank you, Brother Mark, for inviting me.
Yes, sir. It's an honor to have you, Jarvis El Amin, here at the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. As I said earlier, always very distinguished, esteemed guests are invited. I like to look up on this round table that the movers and shakers in our community and also outside of our community and engaging in topics that are pertinent to us as a community, that those guests and topics will always be present at the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, as this is national and international radio. And so there are people that's listening not only in this country but outside the country, and want to say to our radio listening audience that you can be engaged in this conversation, this dialogue with Jarvis El Amin. You heard this outstanding bio by this brother, as he is a very distinguished entrepreneur, also author, very distinguished author. We're going to talk about his latest publication tonight here on the round table. He's a community organizer, and also he's a marketing consultant, and he has done this very well with the the aid and assistance of Almighty God, Allah, you know, anything that it is that we are successful in, he'll be the first to tell you. He gives the praise and thanks to Allah for blessing him to excel in excellence. And he also loves to share what it is that Allah has given to him. And as the Quran said, to spend out of what it is that we have provided with you. It's an honor to have you here with us here on IWDM Radio on the MGM Roundtable. So welcome again. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you, sir.
Yes, you know, Jarvis El-Amin, you know, this outstanding publication that you have in terms of actually to develop a salesman mentality, and also in terms of the commitment of looking at how you are as a salesperson. You know, when you author your book, this latest publication, and obviously you have promoted your publication very, very well, and there are a lot of people that actually are in the sales business, either selling products or services, and, you know, always wanted to ask a person like you this question, too, because I remember many, many years ago, I was attending was a seminar, and I don't remember the presenter, but they said something that I had read many, many years ago, and want to get you a confirmation from you, that whether we recognize it or not, and this is something I used to talk to my children about, we are always marketing something, even ourselves. And so having the confidence, as you may have heard the last production in the Learning Lab, in terms of the encouragement that we have to have for our children and putting that into our children, the confidence that you have to have in yourself, and doubt keeps you out. So to be outstanding in anything, you have to have the right type of attitude to be a salesman, even if you're not in business. If you're just going for an interview, you're actually selling and marketing yourself. So with that being said, you know, obviously you had success, and with that success, was your inspiration just built on the fact that this is something that could benefit others, your motivation for your publication, Jarvis?
Yes, let me just say this. Thank you, Mark, for the good segue to what I want to talk about this book. This book is Creating a Sales Mentality, How You See Yourself as a Salesperson. Let me make this clear to the radio and listening audience. Selling is the art of persuasion. So everybody is selling. I mean, if you married, you persuaded your wife to marry you. If you got a promotion on your job, you persuaded your boss to give you a promotion. So if you're teaching as an imam, as a preacher, you're persuading people to see your point of view and your perspective. So this book, everybody, let me be clear about that, can benefit from this book. How you see yourself. And sales is 85% psychological and 15% technique. So it all starts with your self-image. How you see yourself. Do you see yourself as a peddler, somebody knocking on the door and begging somebody to buy your product or service? Or do you see yourself as a trusted advisor? Do you see yourself as a consultant? Do you see yourself as assisting somebody in making a buying decision about a product or service that's going to be good for them? Or you see yourself as persuading somebody to see your perspective or your idea that's going to make society and civilization advance? So it's all about how you see yourself. So the first part of the book, and my inspiration was when I was doing training, I found out that you got to get into the people's mind first, and that's how the inspiration to write the book was. So I started off just talking about your self-image. How do you characterize yourself? How you see yourself? You understand what I'm saying? What kind of attitude? What's your attitude toward God? What's your attitude toward family, education? What's your attitude toward civic and community engagement? What's your attitude toward your finances and your money? What's your attitude towards your social interaction? What kind of people skills you have? So all of this goes into the concept of selling, the art of persuasion.
Wow, that's powerful what you just said. You know, Jarvis, I remember having a teacher. His name was Mr. Hudson, seventh grade teacher. And I remember him saying to us, at that time we would take aptitude tests. I know you perhaps remember when you take aptitude tests. It's supposed to have been a determining factor in terms of maybe how successful you actually could be, but it actually was supposed to disseminate information in terms of how apt you were in terms of learning. But I remember him saying, first time to us, he said, it is not aptitude, it is attitude that determines our altitude. And as I hear you speaking about attitude, mental attitude, is so very, very important. What type of attitude do you have in regards to all of these different aspects or hats that you actually will wear in life, and how do you see yourself? You know, and it all starts with self, right, Brother Elamine?
Ain't no doubt about it. James Allen said, as a man thinks, so is he. As a man continue to think, so shall he remain. So it all starts and stops at a word called willingness. How much work you're willing to put in self-improving yourself, which is the basis for all community development, improving yourself. It starts with you. It starts with your thinking. You got to go from thinking until positive thinking. You got to do positive affirmation. You got to affirm the greatness that's in us. All of us have natural talent and natural greatness in us, but we have to affirm that greatness and develop that greatness. And so we have to do a SWOT analysis on ourselves. You know, we have to analyze our strengths and our weakness, our likes and our dislikes, and how we begin to develop our personal worth and how we begin to develop a personal brand. Jarvis Elamine is a brand. You Incorporate is a brand. How you build your brand. And so you associate your face and your picture with you, what you do and how you do it and how you do it so well. And you do it so well that people want to pay you to do it. And you live your dream. So you got to have passion for what you do. And a compassion for people. You got to love people. You got to have compassion for people and a passion for life. So when you find your passion in life, that is truly success when you find your passion. So you got to be ambitious. You got to have drive. You got to have enthusiasm. You got to have pause. And a lot of people don't understand, Mark, what pause is. And me and you talked earlier in the week about basketball. You should have said, oh, the Lakers had great pause. Oh, the Celtics had great pause. Well, what is pause? Pause is self-confidence tempered with knowledge. So you got to have self-confidence, but you got to have some knowledge. You got to temper that self-confidence with knowledge. And so you got to be creative. You got to use your creative mind. You got to use your creative thinking, you know. And so you got to always be thinking that you can do more and be more.
Well, you know, this man, I tell you, you are really, you know, Jarvis Elamine, you are already dropping some what I call gold nuggets. So I'm hoping that our radio listening audience do get your pen and pad out, because Brother Jarvis Elamine is dropping some gold nuggets. They're very, very important. You know, when you was talking about the confidence and self-confidence, it reminded me of something a lot of beloved leader taught us many, many years ago. He gave us what I call Imam W.D. Muhammad's definition of confidence. And listen at this. He said confidence is no more than having a rational assessment of your own ability. I'm going to say that again. This is W.D. Muhammad. This is not Mark Shaheed. I'm just sharing this with you. He said confidence is no more than having a rational assessment of your own abilities. So when you were speaking about, you understand, in the nurturing and cultivating of the potentials that Almighty God, Allah, has put into all of us, and the growth and development, the nurturing and the cultivating of that, you know, we just left the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, so we would say to parents, know that all of your children, Allah has given gifts and talents that's there that needs to be unwrapped, and you have a big part in terms of doing that, and I'm quite sure Brother Elamine will agree with that. But the uncovering and the discovering of these gifts and talents, you know, sometimes we say we're looking for a job, but Allah has already put into us what not only would not be a job, but to make jobs for others in terms of entrepreneurship, because this is the gift and the talent that he has given, or maybe multiple gifts, as we see some are multi-talented and all, but having the confidence, having a rational assessment of your own abilities.
I'm so glad that you transitioned into the entrepreneurship, and I want to talk about that. And being an entrepreneur is being able to make a calculated risk about an idea or product and service that you know will benefit the end user. So making a calculated risk, but to be a successful entrepreneur, and I have done that, 21 years having my own authorized dealership with ADT, and made a payroll for 21 years, trained 8 salespeople. Made a payroll for technicians that installed my system. So when you talk about entrepreneurship, I'm talking about you, people are depending on you to make a payroll so they can feed their family. So you have to understand the value of being independent, to be self-reliant. You got to have a lot of commitment to doing the right thing. You got to be ethical. That's really, really important, integrity and ethical. You got to also not be overselling people things they don't want. The key to selling a lot of people who in sales is asking the qualifying question.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, in some circles, they call it the need analysis. But I like to call it asking the qualified questions, because that's going to tell you now how you address that. So you're not selling, you're assisting them in making a buying decision based on what they say they need after you analyze and ask the qualified questions by probing them, by asking questions. Open any questions that get information, how to ask closed-end questions that move you to transition from asking questions to present a solution. And your product of service has to be a product of a service that offers a solution. It has to solve a problem. You got to be sensitive to people's problems. If your product of service don't solve nobody's problem, when I was selling alarm systems, I wasn't selling alarm systems. I was selling safety and peace of mind. This is going to alert you that some danger is coming and prepare you for that danger if somebody tries to break in your house. And so I'm not going to sell people something they don't need just to put more money in my pocket. Because what you do then, you become unethical, and then the end user, the buyer, the consumer start having buyer's remorse. And you know what they do? They talk bad about you when you leave. And bad news travel 20 times faster than good news.
It's got longer legs. In other words, you know, Elamine, you say it a mouthful there, you know, in terms of what I look at is sensitivity in terms of entrepreneurship and being sensitive to the needs of people. Also, when you were speaking, you also stirred something else. I think words of wisdom. It says, you know, Money is the product of work, and work is actually solving problems. So the sensitivity that it is that we would have in terms of the work that we do and perform is solving problems. You know, I often think, and you can respond to this, how many jobs or even entrepreneur opportunities and jobs for people that would be lost if there weren't any problems?
Well, you know, brother, that's a great, you're doing a great job, Mark, as an interviewer, and God knows that's your passion, and you're doing a great job, and the MGM Roundtable should be just grateful for you, because that was a segue. You just, like, you in my mind, and I'm going to segue right into it. Creative selling, that's what I want to talk about. The benefits of creative selling goes right to that. Creating alternative ideas to solving consumers' problems. You got to understand that you, with that problems and challenges in the world, and that's why the Holy Quran said, verily, with difficulty come ease, it allows entrepreneurs to be here. Think about all the cars that Ford would make, all the cars that Toyota would make. The cars still got to be sold at the end of the day. And so how do you see yourself as a salesperson is very important. That's why I made this subtitle. How you see yourself, salesperson, as a communicator. As a communicator, one who articulate and convey and exchange positive information and accurate information. Because there's a thin line between selling and conning. So you don't want to be a con artist, because you want to convey accurate information.
salesperson as a problem solver. Be solution orientated, always looking for a solution. Salesperson as an educator, helping the consumer to acquire knowledge. You got to have a thorough knowledge of your product, thorough knowledge of your services. You got to be an expert in the field. I knew everything about home security. I always go back every 90 days and get more training and going to seminars and flying around the country learning about new cameras and new products and new motion detectors and new keypads. You got to always stay up on that. And one of the keys to this, Mark, that a lot of people don't get.
Okay.
Salesperson as a human relations expert. You got to know how to handle conflict. You got to know how the seven habits of successful people, lions, tigers, and bears. You got to know how to match and mirror the kind of personalities that you meet. If you meet a person that's a real humble person, you can't come talking to them aggressive, because you cannot come as a tiger and aggressive to them and their lamb. You got some people that's an owl that's very, very analytical, so that you have to have technical knowledge. You got to match their analytical knowledge. All of that is a human relations expert, having people skills, your ability to interact with others. And then you have to know when to hold them, when to fold them, by recognizing buying behavior. If I'm sitting in the house with a couple, and I'm selling them a home security system, and the wife look over and say, where are you going to put, Ms. Delamine, the keypad? It's time for me to wind this thing down now and close it up. You got to know how to transition now to the close. But that is a buying behavior. You know what I'm saying to me? That's a buying behavior. So the other part, I'm going to end on this part. The last part is understanding body language. Understand how to read body language. Understanding consumers' nonverbal signals. Let me tell you something, brother. Let me stop right there. Let me tell you something. Listen to the audience. Listen. Very, very careful. The nonverbal and body language speak volumes, speaks better than somebody talking to you verbally. So you have to really understand how to read body language, how to make eye contact, and how to show great facial expressions, how you can bond and match and mirror, and how you can also build rapport with people based on their body language, man. It's even something called power seating. When I go and sit down in the family, it's a certain place I want the husband to sit, a certain place I want the wife to sit. So I get to all of my appointments 10 minutes early so I can set up power seating. And you know when the husband and wife get ready to meet a sales guy, 10 minutes before you come, you know what they said, Mark? We ain't going to buy nothing. We're just going to listen to what he got to say. And so if I get that ticket, that's right. The husband and wife make agreement. They make an agreement before you get there.
Uh-huh.
Hey, listen, Shirley, we ain't going to buy nothing. We're going to hear what the man got to say. We ain't buying nothing. So what you have to do is get that 10 minutes early, and they don't have that talk. They don't have that 10-minute chat about it. And when you get there early and get the power seating arranged, and then you present your product appropriately, you assist them in making a buying decision for a product or service that they need.
Well, you know, you said some very powerful things, some very power points that you actually made. Let me say this, you know, I concur 100% with you saying, because in my major's communications, and in communications, it is said that 55 to almost 58% of all communication is nonverbal, meaning that it is body language. So you have to learn how to read body language. 35 to 38% is tone of voice. You know, as you were saying earlier, you got to know when to hold, when to fold, and then you're paying attention. You understand, because they already have pre-concluded, and usually you hear the man telling his wife or his friend, lady friend, We're not going to, you know, I'm just going to let you know. We're just going to listen to what they say. So, you know, in other words, this, you know, calm down. Don't get all excited or anything. You know, just keep your cool or whatever. So tone of voice is 35 to 38%. Now, if you're doing the math with me, if we look at 55% in terms of body language, 35% in terms of tone of voice, that puts you at 90%. That only leaves about 10% in terms of words. So I concur with you that it's very, very important, if in fact that you're going to be a successful entrepreneur, you better be able to read body language. Matter of fact, even younger, I have an outstanding library. I became so interested in terms of body language. I actually bought a book on body language. And actually, it would tell you in terms of certain positions, folding your arms, crossing your legs, even the way you look up or look down.
That's
is
right.
Actually speaking volumes. But the question becomes, how well can you read body language? Body language is always present in communication.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Brother Elamine?
Yeah, but it comes back to, you know, you always practicing. You're in the lab. I call it being in the lab and making it right in the lab. You got to go in the lab and make it right. I do a lot of role-playing. And when you do role-playing, you know, we used to say, if it ain't in your head, it cannot come from your mouth. So you got to get it in your head first so when you get rid of the talk, it comes out of your mouth when you get the showtime and get ready to do the presentation. But I want to also talk about something that's very, very important.
Yes.
And this is a technique. I use this in when I'm developing sales presentation, but I also use this in marketing. It's called USP, Unique Selling Proposition. So your product or service should have a USP. And so here's what I want to say. Unique, what do that mean? What's unique and different about your product? Different from your competitor.
Yes.
But benefit the client. That's the key. Cannot be different than your competitor and benefit your pocketbook. It has to benefit the consumer. So what's unique, you should think about that. Every company, every product or service should have a USP. So when I ask them in my training, when I do the training, we do a whole workshop. And then we get to the end, which says everybody get up and present their USP. The S stands for selling, USP, unique selling proposition. What advantage? What promotion? What about the investment or the price? You know, and you've got to have the language. Some people don't like the word contract, so you got to say agreement. They don't like price. This is an investment. So what is your advantage in terms of what is the price, what is the promotion, customer service, how does it benefit the client? The last one is P. What is the proposition? What's your special offer? What's your ethical inducement to take action? And so let me give you an example of what that is. When I was selling the alarm system, we had ADT had a $500 theft protection. That was our unique selling proposition. Nobody else had it, different from our competitor. Brinks didn't have it. AT&T didn't have it. No other company had it. So that means if somebody broke in your house and you had an alarm system, you would get a $500 theft protection. So all you had to do is make a claim and they'll send you a check for $500. So you have to know how to use that. So if you have some reluctancy in closing, what do you go back and talk about? You go back and talk about your uniqueness. You go back and talk about that theft protection. You go back and talk about saving 20% off on your homeowner's insurance for having an alarm system. So you got to understand the difference between empathy and sympathy. You not got to know how to empathize with the client, understand how you feel. A lot of my clients felt the same way you feel, but they found out different, which is an old empathy called felt found. So you got to understand empathy. But people don't have no sympathy for you. So you got to know the difference between empathy and sympathy.
Empathy and sympathy.
Right. There ain't nobody going to be worried about your mortgage due or your car note due. So if you go in there desperate, because selling is transference of feelings. You cannot be desperate. Desperate people do desperate things. Even if your condition is bad financially when you're selling, you cannot transfer feelings of desperado. Because
well,
what
please
happens
say that again. You know, Elamine,
you cannot transfer feelings.
You're really beating a loud tune on your drums there. Please reiterate that again. You cannot show desperation in salesmanship.
You cannot do it. Salesmanship also, Mark, is the transference of feelings. Hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Let me say this slow. Selling is transference of feelings. Get that listening audience. If you transfer feelings of positiveness, confidence, assuredness, a thorough knowledge of your product, which means that you are competent, you understand your product or service and what it can benefit the client with, transfer those feelings of positivity. If you transfer feelings of desperado, being desperate, you got to close and you look like you're just badgering the client. You're going to spook the horse. We say in the country, if you ever spook a horse, you can never ride that horse again. So you don't want to spook
that.
A horse.
True that.
So empathy is understand, even when you get objections, you got to understand to overcome objections. The key to overcome objections is, first you got to restate the objection.
So what you're saying, Mr. Mogg, you have a budget concern. Say
yes.
It two or three times, because sometimes the client will give you an objection that's outrageous. And when you restate that objection, they'll listen to how silly and stupid sometimes they'll sound and they'll think about what you're saying. So let me try to help me understand, sir. The reason that you want to go ahead and protect your family and loved ones today is what? So you can want them to restate the objection. Then you want to empathize with them. That's why I'm talking about empathy.
Empathy.
Understand
yes.
how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And the third step is to restate the benefits. What's in it for them? How do they benefit
that's
from
right.
it? So that's the third step. And the fourth step, which is the key here, talking about overcoming objection. Here's the key in step four. Isolate the objection by probing them,
yes.
saying to them, now, it's the only reason, Mr. Shaheed, that you and your family won't go ahead and protect your family with the alarm system tonight is it a budget concern? There's no other concern? That's
mm-hmm.
the only reason that you won't go ahead and register with
mm-hmm.
us today? Why you do that? Because if you don't, Mar, they'll come up with you'll be in the objection answering business. They'll come up with a one excuse,
yes.
one objection, one excuse. You have to isolate and lock it down that that's the only reason they won't go ahead and register today. That's key. That's the art. That's the art
that's
part
the
of selling. If you don't
wow.
do that, brother, you'll think you're a good salesman. you kept an answer for everything. You overcame all objection, and you left there without the deal.
Well, I want to say those who you all who just tuned in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And I have at the round table a very distinguished, esteemed guest. We want to say entrepreneur extraordinaire, marketing consultant, and also a very distinguished, esteemed author at the round table, Jarvis L. Amin. And he's really dropping some, I would say, pure gold diamonds tonight in terms of how to help you to become a master salesman, and how you should look at yourself first, how you should see yourself as a salesperson, because as he started off saying, everybody is marketing something, even if it's no more than just your own self. So a lot of these gold and diamond droppings that he's giving to us tonight can actually be helpful to you. So if you have any questions or comments that you'd like to make, to our special guest, Jarvis L. Amin, or even those of you where you're listening to him and what he's saying is resonating with you, we do invite you to press 1, and an engineer will alert me that you are in the queue, you got your hands up, you want to ask a question, make a comment. Those of you, we know we have quite a few listening by way of the Internet. For you to be involved in the dialogue and questions or comments that you'd like to make to our special guest, you do have to call into the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673. I know I'm enjoying it immensely. And before we transition and talk a little bit about this outstanding publication by Jarvis, I don't know why I want to call you Dr. Jarvis L. Amin.
No, I'm not a doctor,
but you seem like you're performing a little operation here tonight here on the MGM Roundtable. So I want to check in with our engineer, Rashid Salam. Do we have any hands in the air before we transition in terms of this outstanding publication? Because we're going to give Jarvis L. Amin opportunity to talk somewhat about this outstanding publication, because I am personally endorsing it. I think it is something that everybody should have in their home. They should read it and reread it again, highlight. I don't know, some people are marking books or what. I used to do it when I could read so very well, with marking books and highlight certain things, because you want to take and internalize this information so that you can put it into practical application. It does work, and Jarvis L. Amin is also going to give you some other information, what it is that he's offering. And I love that USP. I love that USP. So, Rashid Salam, do we have any callers with their hands up? I want to ask a question, make a comment. Almost certainly, yes. I want to ask you, Rashid
yes,
Salam. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how this is resonating with you, but.
Oh, yes. First of all, let me say assalamu alaikum to my brother. At the same time, I have increased my ability just listening. I've just increased my ability to do what I need to do because you have sold me and transferred your feelings, my good brother. I want you to know that. I'm in the process of getting ready to purchase a book as soon as I get off the line. And, you know, you said my magic word. I tell people all the time, USP, unique selling proposition. And that's big.
Right.
That is one of the most important things one can think of if you're going to be selling any, matter of fact, selling yourself or anything else. What makes you different? But I am inspired. I'm thankful. And I appreciate you coming on the line. And I'm looking forward to it. Well, we do have another hand raised. So let me get this hand. And I'm looking forward to purchasing the book because I can't take
right.
notes.
Those that want to purchase the book, you can go to enhancemententerprises.com because this book will change your lives and your bank account.
Well, I have that on my text. I have it on my text, and I'll make sure I'll get it as soon as the program is over with. So we have 423-313. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
From your mic.
This is Jemana, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
I don't know what to say. This book is something else, and we just got a few, just a look. Get the knowledge from this book. I hope that Brother Saeed have you on again because you can't do all this in just a short time. You got to give us a moment. I really appreciate you coming. I appreciate your Brother Mark having you. You all have a blessed
evening. Alaikum assalam. Well, I want to say, Brother Mark, thank you for the dear sister from Chattanooga calling in, but I want to say for those that would like to call and get in touch with me. I do one-on-one sales coaching. I can train your whole team. Also, I can do virtually one-on-one sales coaches and virtually train your team. So if you want to call and get the information about how you can get this training directly via the Internet or in person, call 727-486-5913. 727-486-5913. And this book will change your life and change your bank account. I'm telling you the truth.
Okay. Where are you, Mark?
I'm
still
here.
There?
Okay. I'm here.
We're gonna give you an opportunity, just in case you didn't have your pen and pad, to get your pen and pad so you can take that information down. So before we close out the session tonight on the MGM Roundtable, you'll have an opportunity, once again, to get that information. You know, Brother Jarvis Elamine, everywhere you go, you inspire people. Amongst all the different things that you can be labeled as, one thing, I see you as motivational, very motivational. And this is good, you know, because Allah tells us in the Quran that He created us in the best of mold. And sometimes people need to be inspired and motivated to realize the best that they have in them, you know, to realize their full potential. You know, I would dare say is that most people, they leave here not understanding and realizing that. A wise man once asked the question, Brother Elamine, what's the richest place? What's the richest place in the world? And, of course, he got all types of answers, you know, from where they make money and all of that, gold mines or what. And so the wise man simply said that the richest place in the world is the cemetery. It's the cemetery, you know, where people didn't realize, recognize, uncover, discover their full potential. You know, it's given in the word bliss, B-L-I-S-S. We have to believe that the Creator has deposited into all of us different talents, presents, and gifts that have to be unwrapped. And that an L in bliss means that we have to locate them. You know, first of all, you got to believe. Then you have to locate them. And sometimes it become obvious. You see that little boy, that little girl singing, dancing, you know, outstanding mind or memory or what, those skills that have become blatantly obvious to us, that's locate. That I am blessed stands for, then you have to institutionalize. Like Tiger Woods, his father, Earl Woods, was a golfer. And so you could say that Tiger Woods may have inherited a golfing gene, if you will, but it has to be institutionalized. And so even with the raw natural talent that we have has to be institutionalized. And that first S in the word bliss is to specialize. You have to specialize. You know, and when you show your uniqueness, you become a specialist. You
That's
talked
right.
about creativity, and Allah gives us the creative mind we call imagination. And that word imagination
yes,
is a wordologist. It inspires, listen to this and take note, it inspires motivation and great ideas, negating all the influences of negativity. I just gave you an acronym for imagination. It inspires motivation. When you can use imagination, it inspires motivation in you, it inspires great ideas in you, and it negates all the influences of negativity, meaning that you can be in an environment. But with imagination, you can imagine yourself outside of those negative circumstances or environment that you actually in. And so Allah has given that as a creative part of our mind, so that as children and as adults, we can use imagination. And so this is very, very important for us to understand and realize that we can specialize. And finally, the last letter in the word bliss is what people call success. But Mark Shahid called it soul-seth, S-O-U-L, soul-seth, because the soul has a yearning, you know, to succeed. And Allah has put and impacted the soul, you understand, to release all it is that he has given to the soul. So we don't want to leave here taking all these gifts, all the talent, all the presence that Allah has given to us, and when we die and are buried, all of these gifts are buried with us. So that's the richest place in the cemetery. So we want to understand, we want to realize, in words of N and I Z E, we want to have realize. Don't do so much analyze, and that's the anal. We want to we want to have realize and see what it is Allah has deposited into all of us. I want to call you Dr. Jarvis Elamine. If I slip up and call you Dr. Jarvis Elamine, please don't take it. That's derogative way. But Jarvis Elamine, let's flip the script a little bit, and let's talk about this outstanding publication, because in this publication, you actually do it from A, B, C, and you take the people to X, Y, Z. Let's get the name of your publication again, and then how they can actually order it. Jarvis?
Yes. Thank you so much, Brother Mark, and thank you and Brother Rashid to your producer. This is just wonderful. I'm excited and just so honored to be on your show. The name of the book is my second publication. It came out April the 30th. It's just hit the city, just hit the grounds right now. And so it's real fresh. Creating a sales mentality. How do you see yourself as a salesperson? Creating a sales mentality, how you see yourself as a salesperson. This book would change your life and change your bank accounts. And if you want to, you can go right to the website. It's very simple, enhancemententerprises.com, enhancemententerprises.com. And what we do, we offer also, we do one-on-one sales coaching so we can work with you one-on-one. You got a product or service you want to sell, we can help you develop the sales presentation. We'll work with you in the role playing. We'll work with you in knowing how to, like you talked about, how the tonality and how to read body language and how to close the sale, how to transition to the close and how to assume the sale. All of these techniques that I've been using. What's so beautiful about this book, Mark, my sales career
stems all the way back to my early days in the Nation of Islam when I was 14, 15 years old, knocking on doors, selling Muhammad speech, selling perfume, selling watches, selling incense, selling 8-track tapes, selling cassette tapes.
Yeah.
You know, all the products and services. And so I used these techniques throughout my career when I sold water treatment systems, when I sold life insurance, when I sold solar, when I sold internet and mobile phones. I mean, every product or service and every organization I did selling with, I was in the top five because I exerted myself and I always strive toward excellence. And so
yes.
You're not talking to somebody, reading a book for somebody, somebody who made all this up. And then I read all these self-help books, Key to Yourself, What Made the Great Great by Dr. Dennis Kimber, Les Brown, Live Your Dreams, all these books, Anthony Robbins, Tony Rowan, all of them, Zig Ziglar, I met them in person.
Ziglar, one of my favorites.
Les
Brown, just tell the people that you actually, I had an opportunity to meet Les Brown and all of them, LME.
Yes, I was in Miami, brother. I was in the, from 1977 to 1987, I met Les Brown, 81, 82. He was doing Motivational Mondays on the radio station, and I used to do do radio advertising for the radio station that he was doing Motivational Mondays. And every time he'd come in on Monday, I would come and just be mesmerized. And then he'd start doing little workshops and seminars in the community, and I would go to his seminars and sit on the front row and bow all the self-help books. I was reading 3, 4, 5 books a month. I mean, my library is full of those books right now. And then me and him became good friends. I met his mother, Miss Mamie Brown, met his twin brother. Miss Mamie Brown, I met her. I met his sister, Margaret, you know, and then I started traveling with him. When he first went to Detroit, left Miami and went to Detroit, he had somebody that was going to sponsor him. And I'll tell you something about Les. Les was always persistent. He had another book called Persist. It's not over until you win. Persist until you win. And wanted to be, that's right, he wanted to be on the cover of Johnson, Ebony Magazine. So he used to call Mr. Johnson. He called Mr. Johnson for 3 years every Monday. He called Mr. Johnson 3 years every Monday. And he finally got on the cover of Ebony. And it paid off because after he got on the cover of Ebony, it was a benefactor in Detroit that liked what he was doing and flew to Miami to meet Les. And he flew to Miami to meet Les and said, come to Detroit, I'm going to sponsor you. We're going to be a partnership. And he wanted me to go with him. But I wanted to be, you know, my own brand. And so I said, Les, you go ahead. And I went in the restaurant business. I went in the steak and take business. And so I ended up getting a chain of steak and takes, and I started doing, you know, the steak and takes with the Fish Supreme, the steak and take, the bean pie, the carrot cake, you know. I did all of that. I said, Les, you go live your dream. Let me do this. And then we remained friends. And matter of fact, Les was here 4 years ago in Tampa. He was doing a motivational big event, and he called me, and we had lunch together. You know, when he got through with the program, I ate dinner with him, took him to the airport. You know, he's just a wonderful, wonderful brother. Now he got his son and his daughter, and they involved in the motivational business now. And so, you know, I retired in October after 21 years with ADT, and then now I'm living my best life. First thing I did, Mark, was I got my health together. I went from 267 to 167. My blood sugar was over 600. My blood sugars now have not been over 125 in 4 years. And so I started getting into the greatest wealth. And now at 62, I feel like I'm 19 years old, and I'm living my dream. Living my passion.
We have a health guru. I know you don't know Rashid Salam is that. He have an outstanding production here on IWDN Radio. Maybe you can tune in some Tuesday evening here on the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab with his recurring guest, Instructor Abdul Shahid. And he actually disseminated a lot of information every Tuesday night, so I want to just give him a plug in regards to his outstanding production. So just, you can tell by the way you talk that you are very
important.
Healthy.
Your health is your greatest wealth. It's very, very important. And if you're going to be successful as an entrepreneur, you got to have the energy because you're going to work long hours. You're going to work long hours. You never stop working. You're going to work, and you're always marketing yourself, you know what I mean? And in the age of now of the Zoom calls and the WebEx and all of that, technology is going to make this thing real, real easy to do, and you got to embrace this technology. And, you know, not run away from it. You got to embrace it. You cannot be scared of this technology. I remember when the pandemic hit and I had to do everything Zoom, and I was struggling with it and couldn't get on the Zoom and getting frustrated. And what happened was I said, I'm going to do it. I made my mind up and do it. And every time I said get on, the group would say, well, we know Mr. Alameen, he having trouble getting on, but he'll be on another 5 minutes. They was just, you know, putting me on the spot. And I finally got it. And when I got it, I was on before they was on.
We might have somebody else. Do we have somebody else with their hands up, Rashid?
Yes, you do. Okay.
Okay. Let's go to the caller. We got another caller here for you, Alameen.
All right.
Let's see what they have on their mind.
Let's
go right.
Okay. We have 314-305. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Donna Lamont, and I'm calling from St. Louis, Missouri.
Alaikum assalam. Donna, yeah, you have a question, a comment for our very distinguished guest, Brother Alameen?
Yes, sir. Brother Alameen, it's a pleasure to hear you and meet you, even by phone. But I wanted some of the things you're saying are interesting. We're looking forward to having a Sister Clara Muhammad School here in St. Louis. And when it comes to fundraising, I have a feeling that we could learn a lot as far as your book, is even in how you write a letter. You know, sometimes you write letters to request financial assistance from maybe groups or funding. Yes, sir. And,
I'm glad. Let me stop you real quick. I'm glad you just told me another skill that I do. I do go around the country fundraising. I was in the room with Sir Roger Ahad one time, and they had hired me to do fundraising, and he was just in the audience, and he saw me fundraising. He said, "Oh, Brother John, me and him know each other. I didn't know you was that good." But I do fundraising, and it's an art to that too. It's a real art to that. You have to understand how to do it, and you got to know your audience, and you got to know how long to do the fundraising. So it's very, very important.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
So, yes, so but sister, you can benefit from the book and learn some things about fundraising and about how you – because it's all persuading. That's what it is. It's the art of persuasion. So make sure you listen. Stay tuned so you get my number. Go ahead.
In other words, Sister Donna, you can actually call him direct and everything, and you can ask, you know, all the questions that you want to ask. And, of course, we're going to make sure that we have some of his publications there at Al Mu'minun Islamic Center for sale.
Okay.
It's very reasonable price. It's very reasonably priced, but it's a wealth of information. And as Jarvis Alameen always say, you know, sometimes people think, obviously, that they have to spend money, but look at it in terms of an investment.
Definitely.
If we look at it in terms of an investment in ourselves, you know, when you invest in something, you are actually looking for a return. You're looking for a good return. Nobody invests money and then say, I'm not looking for a return. You know, when you invest in a business, you're looking for a good return in that.
That's right.
So if you invest in knowledge that this brother actually have and sharing with people, then you will get a good return. Like he said, it would change you. It changed your bank account. It would change the way you look at things and how you look at people and to see them as resources also. I just thought I would give that endorsement to you, Jarvis.
I really appreciate it because Imam Muhammad said leadership is in resource for people. Surrounding yourself with resourceful people.
That's right. That's what the imam said. And Muhammad said, leadership is in the resourceful people. And those imams that are smart and wise and very astute, they would actually should pick up on that. And they should understand, realize that leadership is in the resourceful people and that every community have resourceful people. And so the utilization of those resources. Matter of fact, the imam should actually ask those people when they see that their resources should go to them. And Imam Muhammad also told us, if the imam don't ask you, you should go to him and say, look, this is what it is that I can do. This is what I can offer to help this community.
Right.
Yeah, in that regard. So if the imam don't see you, make sure that you are seen. And once again, it's not about arrogance. It's about confidence. And remember Imam Muhammad's definition of confidence. W.D. Muhammad says, confidence is no more than having a rational assessment of your own abilities. Some people can mistake it for being cocky or arrogant, but people that are confident, those are the people who are successful. Those are the winners. And this is what Allah wants us to be. He wants us to be successful in whatever our endeavors are, as long as it is for his cause and servitude to him. So, yes, go ahead. Any other question, Sister Donna, that you want to ask, I guess, or comment?
Well, just looking forward to reading the book.
I'm
looking forward to seeing the book. You're a great guide and you're very motivational, definitely. So I just thank you, and I'm gonna get off the phone and finish listening to you. Thank you.
Thank you, sister, and I really appreciate it. May Allah make it easy for you and bless you tremendously.
Yes. So Jarvis, we are going to put in an order for a few copies of the book and make it available at Al Mu'minun. And I'm going to advise the radio listening audience, do yourself a favor. Invest in yourself. We're using the word invest in you. Invest
That's
in
right.
your family. Invest in your community so that you can have respectful expectations of what it is that you receive in turn. If we're talking about a few dollars, you know, some of us spend money and we can't even account for what we did with it. we
That's
see
true.
Things that we buy that we don't even need. But this is a book that you need that's going to help make a difference in your life and your bank account. I don't know any people that's got enough money. Jarvis, matter of fact, most people I know don't quite have enough.
That's always the case. And so what we're talking about doing, it's all about, Brother Shahid, how you manage the money that you do have. You know, so,
yes.
you know, if you, yeah, so. Brother Shahid.
The other thing that I want to give you opportunity, take a few minutes, if you would, before we conclude. I want to give you opportunity to talk a little bit, whatever it is that you want to say, a little appetizer, if you will, in regards to this outstanding publication and creating a sales mentality.
What I want to say is, first of all, you gotta be a look at toward yourself. Look toward the leader within you. And look and start
yes.
setting goals. You got to have goals. You got to have effective methods to make goals, to reach your goals. And goal setting, you got to write your goals down. You got to do goal posters. You got to write it and put it up on the wall. You got to read positive affirmations every day. You got to put that right talk in you every day. You got to be affirming yourself every day. Like we see in the country, a poor frog don't play his own pond. You got to play your own pond. It's not arrogance. You got to feel good about you. You got to be confident about you. You got to sell you on you, and once you sell you on you, that positivity is going to exude from you. And once you do that, you're going to be a walking, motivational, positivity person, and that's what you want to do. I want to close out with this, brother.
Okay.
Courage, commitment, and change. You got to have the courage to go after your dreams and your passion. You got to make a commitment to the commitment, and you got to know that the only thing that's constant in life is change. Everything got to change. We're not riding on no horse now. We're riding in Mercedes-Benz. Everything is going to change. You don't have no beeper now. You got a cell phone. So you got to understand that change is constant. So your ability to embrace change, you have to have the ability to embrace change and constantly changing in your life and make your life better. So those that want to connect with me, go to Enhancement Enterprises. Go to Enhancement Enterprises or call 727-786-5913, 727-486-5913. 5913, or you can just make sure you stay in contact with me and understand that this book will change your life and your bank account. I got a previous commitment. I got to get on another call.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Once again, those three C's, as I said, those are three C's, courage, commitment, and change, very important. I want to thank you, and I know you have a previous engagement, and all, we won't want to detain you any longer, but I want to say to you, Jarvis El-Amin, that you have an open-door policy on IWDM Radio and here at the MGM Roundtable. This won't be your last time, and we want to thank you.
No, not
you so
at
much.
All. I enjoy it. I love you,
yes.
Brother, and there's absolutely
love you
nothing
too.
You can do about it. See you at the top. May Allah make it easy. As-salamu alaykum.
Hey, wa alaykum as-salam. And there you have it, the MGM Roundtable tonight. We was graced by a very distinguished, esteemed entrepreneur and also very distinguished, esteemed author, community organizer, and also a marketing consultant, and also a motivational speaker, a good brother and friend, Jarvis El-Amin. And so he's giving out the information how you can get in contact with him. And if you didn't get that information, you can always contact me, or you can contact our engineer, Rashid Salam. I know he don't mind me giving out his telephone number. He's at 650-669-0458, or you can contact me at area code 314-435-7213. That's 314-435-7213 to get the information. Let's make an investment in ourselves, make an investment in your family, make an investment in your community. So I want to thank Jarvis. I don't know why I always want to call Jarvis a doctor. It just seems like he should have doctor in front of him because he performs operations. And so we may look at your futuristic, maybe inviting him to the gateway city of St. Louis. A lot of our community can use that motivation, those motivational techniques in terms of salesmanship. So we want to create a positive mentality, creating a positive mentality when it comes to salesmanship, and how do you and how do we see ourselves as a salesperson. All of us are selling and marketing ourselves in some shape, form, or fashion, so we need to know how to do it best, and he can teach those techniques. And also, I think he may be offering a half an hour free session with you. You purchase his publication, and he will give you a half an hour free of charge. So that should be very unique and enticing enough for you to purchase the book. And we want to make sure, as I have authors here, have quite a few authors in the last 2 months, outstanding publications. So invest in yourself, invest in your community. So with that being said, I want to thank our radio listening audience first and foremost, because without you, there couldn't and wouldn't be IWDM radio station, and most certainly the very dynamic productions that we have here on IWDM radio. I want to thank my very distinguished, esteemed engineer, Rashid Salam, always being there, because without him, you wouldn't get me. He's engineering this production, these productions each and every week. And I want to say to our radio listening audience, the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio. It is a family affair. I want to also invite you tomorrow. The Sister Learning Lab will be coming on tomorrow. And that is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir, who was my very distinguished, esteemed guest last week at the MGM Roundtable. Did an excellent job. She joins yours truly each and every Thursday night, Mark Shahid, on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and it begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And the following day is Salatul Juma each and every Friday that across the world. It is Salatul Juma, and for those who are immobilized and can't get out and about to the local masajids and Islamic centers, you can come back to IWDM Radio with the very distinguished esteemed Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sair, longtime resident imam of Al-Nur Islamic Center, good friend there, in Indianapolis, Indiana. And that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And the longest running production that we have on IWDM Radio is Words Make People. Yes, Words Make People, once again, with Imam Michael Mikhail Sahir. That happens each and every Sunday afternoon. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio, Words Make People, as Imam Michael Mikhail Sahir always has very intriguing guests and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. So please tune in and listen in. And at the beginning of the week, we started off with a blast always, as we have the very distinguished esteemed talk show host extraordinaire Rashid Salam and his recurring guest, instructor Abdul Shaheed, on the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. This is a learning lab. You have to bring an open mind. You have to bring an open heart. You have to bring your pen and pad, because you're going to get word and terminology, and all that has already been researched. They have already brought it to the lab. This is the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. It has already been brought to the lab. But just in case you want to research the research, to search to see if, in fact, it's true, you need to tune in and listen in, because this information can be life-changing. I mean, seriously life-changing for your physical, your mental, and your spiritual health. Yes, I said all three. Physical, mental, and spiritual health. They're all related, so you want to tune in. That happens each and every Tuesday here on IWDM Radio. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And then we come back to where we are today, which is each and every Wednesday, here with the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, with the very distinguished esteemed co-host and co-facilitating co-producer, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, joining yours truly, Mark Shaheed, on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And please get the publication that we are using as a textbook. It's an outstanding publication. It's titled Parenting Skills. Parenting Skills, based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That simply means that the prayers and the peace be upon the Prophet, and practical application for various ages. This is an outstanding publication. Yes, you said, Mark Shaheed, you keep on telling us about books, books, books. Well, we want you to look at books, 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 and we want you to read, so you can lead, if you will, in regards to the outstanding information and education. And so, yes, I do endorse all of these publications, because a lot of things that we miss when we was actually parenting our children, and now we may be grandparents, we may be better grandparents than we were actually parents, and most certainly when we ingest and digest this information, you know, we can also disseminate that information to others and be a benefit to others. So very important. That's the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean and yours truly each and every Wednesday. And next Wednesday, we're going to be looking at doing something a little bit different, going away from the textbook, and we're going to be looking at the recent judgment by the Supreme Court in terms of abortion, and we're going to be looking at it from an Islamic perspective, and this is going to be on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, so don't keep it a secret. You want to tune in, you want to listen in, and you want to call in and press 1 and to participate. We may have the Honorable Judge Joe Brown to see what his perspective is in terms of this most recent ruling that got the country in an uproar. And we may look at and futuristic at the round table, having a panel discussion, because we have a paradigm when it comes to abortion from an Islamic perspective. How many of us actually know what that is by way of the Quran? So you need to stay tuned to IWDM Radio. And, of course, each and every Wednesday, following the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, it is the MGM Roundtable. As you know, I always like to bring and present to our radio listening audience, very distinguished and esteemed guests inside of our community, also outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And I'd like to use this platform to bring to you the movers and shakers in our community. So we hope that you do appreciate all it is that you've heard tonight. Special thanks go to Dr. Patricia Slaw-Udine and our special guest, our good brother and friend, Jarvis Elamine, and also to our radio listening audience in terms of tuning in, listening in, and especially those who participated, and also to our very distinguished engineer, always my good brother and friend, Rashid Salam. So until next time, this salam is for you and yours. And so you have to wake up. Let's not fall asleep on this, people. Assalamu alaikum.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na, 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 na. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
Assalamu alaikum.